Good morning. Today's devotion takes us to Psalm 86, a psalm written during a deeply distressing time for David. It is a fervent prayer for God's help, and we can learn a lot about godly prayer out of it. So join with me as we read it together. Psalm 86, verse 1. Hear me, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord, listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me, and you have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you, just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Isn't it amazing how even when David was fearing for his life as his enemies came to attack him, the psalm portrays the quiet trust he has in the Lord. Don't get me wrong, this is a fervent prayer, and we can still see that David is in distress. But he knows the God he is praying to is so much bigger than his problems. Consequently, we can learn a lot about godly prayer from this psalm. Prayer is so powerful, so much more than we often realize. We are communicating with the God of the universe, who has control over literally everything, including you listening to this devotion right now. So from this psalm, we can answer five very relevant questions about prayer. The first of which is, why do we pray? Well, David gives a pretty good reason in verse 5. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. We are repeatedly told in Scripture to call on the name of the Lord and to pour out our hearts before him. Prayer is most certainly commanded in Scripture, but this is really just a testament to how fickle our human hearts actually are. If you think about it, a very sick person doesn't usually need to be told to go to a doctor. Yet, we have to be commanded to approach God, the one who is able to richly supply our every need. We must also remember that this command to pray is not one in vain. God actually does supply our needs and takes much delight in answering his children's prayers. Verse 7, when I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Of course, this is not to say that God is a genie and will answer prayers prayed with selfish goals, but rather, God will answer according to his wisdom of what we really need. This might be a no or a wait. However, regardless of the answer, David is praising God in the psalm without even having received the answer. So therefore, we pray because it connects us to the God of the universe, the one that knows what we need. And it puts all of our needs in perspective with his sovereignty. The second question we might ask is, what is required of those who pray? The short answer to this is humility. We can see all throughout this psalm the spirit of humility that David has. Not once is his own strength or knowledge ever alluded to. On the contrary, David spends much time ascribing strength and majesty to the Lord, while describing himself as poor and needy. To be spiritually poor and needy is to recognize our own spiritual distress and doubts, physical weakness, emotional struggles, and lack of wisdom. We cannot come to the Lord with any sort of pride in our hearts. We have to come to Him as we are, yet with an expectant attitude that God can and does change and sanctify us. On the opposite extreme, though, the excuse, "I can't pray to God because I'm not good enough," is also a very tempting one to make. But this excuse implies that there is a point at which we are good enough to pray to God, and that is pride. We need to understand the depths of our depravity. Of course we aren't good enough, but that's exactly why we must pray. So then, what does it look like, practically, to pray with humility? To name just a few examples, we should come to the Lord with proper reverence, the type that comes when you're talking to the Creator of the universe. We shouldn't puff up our own image in front of Him as if we're somehow less sinful than those around us. We shouldn't feel like by praying we're doing God a favor, and we certainly shouldn't come to Him and expect selfish prayers to be answered our way. We must come to Him, though, with a teachable spirit, reminding ourselves of God's character, and then trusting that God has indeed heard our prayers. Our third question is, how often should we pray? Well, if we look at verse 3, David's answer is all day. "You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long." And just in case you weren't fully convinced by this, let's read 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16 to 18 together. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This is quite undeniable, but let's not think that this means we keep our eyes closed and heads bowed and hands together all day. Rather, the meaning is more along the lines of constantly being in communication with God, letting Him permeate every area of life. We are so good at compartmentalizing, only praying on Sundays when we take God out of our little box. But this is not the way that God designed prayer. It is a constant thing. Having a rough day? Pray about it. Going into a meeting? Pray for it. See a pretty flower? Praise God. Getting into the habit of praying to God throughout the day, even for the little things, will have a marked effect on your relationship with the Creator. Our fourth question is this: how do we know that our prayers will be heard? The answer to this is simply God's character. "Because you, O Lord, are good. Because you, O Lord, are forgiving. Because you, O Lord, are abounding in steadfast love. Because there is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. Because you are great and do wondrous things. Because you alone are God." His character is unchanging and steadfast, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He heard His children's cries in the past, and He hears them today, and you will hear them until the end of time. Our fifth and final question is this: does God hear my prayers, even when my sins are too many, too evil, or too frequent? I'm sure we've all been there. We've committed that sin again for the umpteenth time, and we just don't know if God can forgive us yet again. There is no greater obstacle to prayer than the guilt of sin weighing down on us. The devil is so quick to change his tune from tempting us into sin to condemning us afterwards, questioning how we could ever pray after what we've done. These words seem so reasonable, and they are actually true, if it wasn't for the grace of God. But let's look at verse 15. "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Although we are sinners to the core, Jesus' righteousness covers us, no matter how many times we mess up. God loved us enough to send His Son to take the wrath we rightly deserve. Now let's not use this as an excuse to keep sinning, but rather, it's a reason not to feel condemned. For every accusation of the devil, God has the perfect reply on our behalf. So we've spoken a lot about godly prayer this morning, and yet there's still so much more to be said about it. But I'd like to leave you with one final thought. The lethargy of spirit, the difficulty in praying on some days, these are normal things that happen to us as broken sinners. It's not always easy, but it is very much necessary to pray, even through those times. It is God's design for us to communicate with Him. So let's not give up on doing so.